Pastor Peter asked me to bring the message this morning, which is really an honour and a privilege to do that. Over the last few weeks, when I've read the scripture, read the word for today, the word stumbling block has just jumped out at me. I just seem to read it in Romans and Corinthians. I've just read it, and I just felt the Holy Spirit lead me on a study to look at stumbling block, and as we're going into 2021, what that means for us, all of us. So that is the title of the message today. It's stumbling block, which is an unusual title, but we'll go through it together. So first reading I want to share, we need to look at what is a stumbling block. So that when we look at what is a stumbling block, and stumbling block is talked about in the Bible in the Old Testament and in the New Testament throughout the Bible. And a stumbling block is a circumstance that causes difficulty or hesitation. It's an obstacle. It's something that can make us err from the path that we're on. It's something that can block us from going forward. So the first reading I just want to share this morning is actually from Proverbs 4:18. And it says, "The path of the uncompromisingly righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more brighter and clearer until it reaches its full strength in the perfect day." In the Message, it says, "The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine." As we're going into 2021, this verse has a lot of meaning for me, and I just want to share that with you this morning. So let's just pray before I bring the message. I just thank you, Lord, that in 2021, our light will grow brighter. Our light will grow stronger. Our light will grow clearer, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you give us opportunities in 2021 to shine our light, because the light in us is Jesus in us. So thank you for the word today, Lord. I thank you that as it goes forth, it touches hearts, Lord Jesus. It is all about you. The word is yours today, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that it impacts people and that we don't leave here the same as when we came. And they all said, amen. So if we break this verse down, it says the path of, when we look at righteous, we look at, that's us. When we give our hearts to the Lord, we become the righteousness of God. We become sons and daughters of the Most High God. But the adjective, I love the adjective before it, because it says uncompromisingly, which means don't compromise. It means we know the truth and we stand on the truth. We don't let our standards drop. We adhere. So that uncompromisingly is a really important adjective we have before that, because it's saying we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to stand for the truth, and we need to stand on the word, and we need to know who we are in God to do that. So I love that. It says, those who stand, who don't compromise, the righteous, their light is of the dawn that shines more and more brighter and clearer until it reaches its full strength in the perfect day. And we know we haven't reached that perfect day. We know that bit by bit we are becoming stronger as we spend more time in the word, as we spend more time with Jesus, as we pray more. It's an ongoing thing. But as these in the Message Bible, it says the ways of the right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. And that should be us. The longer we live, the brighter we shine. We know that the world is becoming darker, don't we? We know that there are things in the world that are changing, that like 10 years ago there are things that I had never heard. I'd never heard of bills that have been trying to be passed in Parliament, or things that are spoken of like, what's it called, something about our culture change, or things, words that were never spoken of 10 years ago that are now spoken of. Our world, there's more environmental changes. Things are changing rapidly in our world, aren't they? But as the dark grows darker, we as the light need to grow lighter. And the lightness will outweigh the darkness. It says that in the Bible. It says, you know, the dark might grow darker, but the light will grow stronger. And we need to be those shining lights. And in 2021, it's a good reflection for all of us to look as we're going into this year. Where has God placed us? He's given us all employment, or we're at school, or we go to the, wherever we are, even if it's in the shops or the post office, our light should shine. There should be something different about us that
other people notice, that gives us an opportunity to say a kind word, to do, just like Rachel was speaking of when she did the Ties talk, sometimes it's a kind word, sometimes it's an act of kindness. There should be something about us that stands out to people in a hurting world that need the answer. And we know that the answer is Jesus, who has the answer to every situation, don't we? I love this because this is from the book of Romans, and this is Paul. Now, we know Paul wrote the book of Romans. We know that Paul, before he was saved, he killed Christians, he persecuted Christians. He stood there while Stephen, the Apostle Stephen, was being stoned. He had a radical transformation on the road to Damascus, and he became a Christian on fire for God. He preached the gospel every day of his life, every opportunity he had, whether he was in jail, whether he was sitting before judges, he preached the gospel. And this is what he wrote in the book of Romans. He says, I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds I do not desire to do are what I am ever doing. In the Message it says, I do not do the good things I want to do, but the bad things I do not want, I do. I do not want to do. And I think it's really humbling, isn't it? This is Paul, who was a Christian on fire for God, who's saying, you know, I struggle, he says. I want to do the good things, but I fail to do that. I do the things I don't want to do. And when you read this from a man who just every day of his life preached the word, prayed for people, shared the gospel wherever he could, it's very humbling because it just shows us that we're all really imperfect people and God just uses us for his perfect plan and that we all make mistakes. But what does it say in Proverbs? You make mistakes, you get up, you know, and you go again. The righteous might fall seven times, but they get up again seven times. And I think going to 2021, this is a message for me, and I feel to share with others, is that we have to also not be critical of others. Because people's behaviour and people what they say and people what they do is not always what's happening in that person. God sees the heart of that person. And we have to see people the way Jesus does. We have to think, maybe they're acting that way because of something that happened in their past. We might not know. We don't need to know. But we need to not be critical as a church. We need to not judge people as a church. People act the way they do because of things that may have happened beforehand to lead them to this point. Remember Paul, what he was like. He was killing Christians before he became a Christian himself, had a radical transformation, and then became a full-on Christian on fire for God. Once we give our hearts to Jesus, what we do, our behaviour changes, doesn't it? It changes slowly over time. If it was too quick, I mean, Paul's transformation was radical, but not everybody's is that radical. God works with us slowly and tinkers with our hearts over time. It's just like the light will shine the longer we live as we go from strength to strength to that perfect day. Our behaviour will change and the things that we... The stumbling blocks that make us err off the path won't be such a temptation anymore. We'll be stronger in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, and this is again, is that Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth, which was a big city and full of Christian and had Christian people. And he wrote this in 1 Corinthians 1 and 23. And it says, we preach Christ the Messiah, crucified. But to the Jews, it's a scandal and an offensive stumbling block. And to the Gentiles, it is an absurd and utterly unphilosophical nonsense. But to those who are called, whether Jew or Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So if we look at that, the Orthodox Jews, they're still waiting for Jesus to come, for the Messiah. So when Paul was preaching the gospel, there were Jewish people who were still waiting for the Messiah to come. But Jesus had already come. Jesus had come as the Son of Man and Son of God. And they failed to see that. He was in Israel. He was in Jerusalem, Jesus, when he walked on this earth. Right under their noses, but they didn't see it. And even to this day, we have Orthodox Jews who are waiting still for the Messiah to come. So when the gospel is spoken to them, when the name of Jesus is spoken to them as the Messiah, to them it's a stumbling block. It's offensive. It says here, it's a scandal. So they can't see it. And the same with the Gentiles. It seems absurd and utterly, you know, nonsense. We know that things We believe in Jesus. He died, he was buried, he rose again. But there are people, when you say that, they find it offensive. They find it a stumbling block. I recently listened to an interview with Israel Folau. And so you all know about Israel Folau. He's an Australian rugby player. He's a Christian. When he used to play rugby, he used to wear a band with a cross on it. And he posted on Instagram a post that at the same time that in Tasmania, they were deciding whether or not parents could leave off the gender of their child when they were born on the birth certificate. And this happened at the same time. So it caused, you would remember, a huge public outcry. He was called a bigot, a hater, homophobic. What he posted was scriptural. And yes, it was strong, but it was straight from scripture. And he offended lots of people. So in the interview, he was asked, you know, about this. And he said, he was asked about whether, how he felt about all these people who, you know, he lost his job, he lost his income, he's banned from playing rugby for the rest of his life in Australia, and his reputation, people were marring him, his name was slung through mud. And in the interview he was asked, you know, how do you feel about this with, you know, because, you know, all these people saying these things, the media outcry, and he said, what the media writes is 0.3% or 1% truth anyway. But he said, I understand, he said, because how these people are feeling. He said, because before I became a Christian, my posts were different. But he said, I became a Christian. And he said, I believe God gave me the gift to be a natural sports player. I went on to be an elite sports star. He's on record for scoring the most tries in Super Rugby. And he said, I believed it was a platform that God gave me to share the gospel. And he said, it's all for the glory of God. He said, but before I became a Christian, if people talked about the gospel or Jesus, he said, I saw it as an offence. He said, so I understand where they're coming from. He didn't retract his post. He was asked to. He didn't retract it. He said, no, I believe that this is important. And in the interview, he said there were a couple of scriptures that he stood on during this time. This time, you know, when he didn't have an income and he had all this in the media, his name was slung with mud. And he said, I stand on number one, Romans 8. God works all things for good, and it's for his glory. And number two, if you put the kingdom of God first, everything will be added unto you. And he said, this is all for God's glory. We might not see the good now, but good will come of this down the track, he said. He said, in a way, it was his own fault because he did pray a prayer. And he said to God, God, I'm really comfortable. You know, he had a good income. He was married. You know, he's very, you know, materialistically, he's quite well. But beside that, he said, God, I'm very comfortable in my walk with you. I'm content. So if you want to stretch me in my faith, I open myself up for that. And this is, he said, months later, this is what happened. So he said, you know, be careful what you pray, because God definitely answered his prayer. This is definitely a tough time. But he said he sleeps well at night because he knows that the suffering is only for a small time. And he said, God's with me all the way, and I have that peace all about me. And in the interview, he was asked, you know, do you have a message for other Christians or people like that? And he said, yes, I do. He said, be ready. Be ready and purpose in your heart. You've got to know who you are in God, and you've got to purpose in your heart what the truth is. We know the truth. We've got to know that we have that truth ready to speak out if we're questioned about things, if we're asked about things. He said, don't conform to this world. Stand up. Do what's right. God is with you. You may suffer for a little while, but God is with you, and there's always good that comes. It's time to get real, he said, and not compromise. Yeah. So it was really... yeah, powerful interview. And it makes me think of Daniel as well, because Daniel, when we look at the Old Testament, Daniel was a teenager in Judah when Judah was taken captive by Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. I probably said that wrong. He was taken with an elite group of teenagers to be an attendant to the king. So he was selected. He was of noble birth. They were without spot or blemish, this group of teenagers. They were well educated. And he was taken into the king's palace. But he determined in his heart before he went that he would not defile himself by eating the king's dainty food or rich food, even before he went. But in doing that, he put his life on the risk. He put the leader over that group of boys, his life at risk. But he predetermined, a teenager, a young teenager. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And he said, in Daniel 1:8 it says, Daniel determined in his heart that he would not defile himself by eating the king's rich and dainty food. And if we read down in that book further, years probably passed, doesn't give us exact timeline, but God elevated him to a position of authority. He was selected out of all those boys to be the king's special attendant. And we know he was in the lion's den, and he's, you know, and we know that he wouldn't bow down to the idol, the big idol that was erected. So the whole book is about what he predetermined. He was faithful to the Lord, and so the Lord was faithful and honored him. I became a Christian when I was 17. There was a group of us at school. And then when I traveled the world in my 20s, the world sort of took over, and I even had a Bible. I went to Europe with a friend. We took our Bibles. We used to pray. Then she came back to finish uni. I'd finished nursing, so I sat on. And I don't even know what happened to that Bible. I don't even know what happened to... It just, the world took over. So I wasn't walking with the Lord anymore. When I came back to Australia, I went to Derby to work. But my sister was in Broome having a baby, so I thought I should transfer here to the hospital and be a support to them. But I really miss Derby. Derby's such a great, friendly town. So every opportunity I had, I would go back. And this one weekend, there were friends, and they were having a birthday or a dinner party. So I didn't have transport, so I hitchhiked up to Derby. So I got out on the road and I hitched, and I was picked up by four young people in their early 20s, mid-20s, just like me. They all went to this church. So you can imagine. So I had 2 hours, and they started, of course, preaching the word. And I was like, I was really uncomfortable. I was like, oh, my pride just raised up. I was like, yeah, I know all that. I had not been walking with the Lord for some years now. I know that. I know that. I know it. And, you know, they said it says in the Bible. I said, well, I know what it says in the Bible. They stopped the car. They ran around to the boot. They got their bags out. They got all their Bibles out. They jumped back in the car. And then they started quoting scripture and opening the Bible and saying, but look here, look here. That was the longest 2 hours in that car. I couldn't wait to get out of that car. I was so offended. And here I was, a Christian. You know, I was offended. I think God really has a sense of humour. Here I am in the same church years later, many years later. But he knew back then that even though I saw that as a stumbling block, he just sowed those seeds, you know? And then they were watered along the way. Someone definitely was praying for me. If you want to look it up in 1 Corinthians 6, this is just one of the scriptures that Israel Folau posted. When he did a post, it was from this scripture that he put the post up that a lot of people were very offended about. I won't read it this morning. In Romans 9 and 32-33, it says, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall. But he who believes in him, who adheres, trusts in, and relies on him shall not be put to shame nor disappointed in his expectations. In here you see the stumbling stone is with a capital letter. It's Jesus is the stumbling stone. So for some people, when they hear the gospel or the name of Jesus, we know that it's a stumbling stone. This was written by Paul in the book of Romans, and he was talking about it after Jesus had died and rose again. But look, you know, almost 2,000 years on, we're still seeing that, aren't we? As the world grows darker and, you know, more offended by when we talk about Jesus or the gospel, when really what's the commandment? The commandment is love God and love one another, you know? We need to love one another with the love of God, and that's, we should be shining our light by doing that. But it has become an offence to some people. And we need to pray for those people.
Who knows? You know, I just think of what Israel Folau's post. We don't know the outcome of that. I'm sure there's some people who are now reading the Bible or who are in church or started questioning things. We don't know the fruit of it, but I bet there was fruit from that. That post went out all across Australia and perhaps it even went worldwide. I'm not sure. In Isaiah 8 and 14, so this is the Old Testament. This is prophetic. He should be a sanctuary, a sacred and indestructible asylum to those who reverently fear and trust in him. But he shall be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence to the house of Israel and a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In Peter, in the New Testament, we see the very stone that the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone, but also a stone that will cause stumbling and a rock that will give offence to men. They stumble because they disobey and disbelieve God's word. So we see there it's the disobedience and the disbelief. Isn't it? Like, people might hear the gospel and they choose not to believe the gospel, or people know the gospel and they turn away from the gospel. Like I suppose we did when we were 17, that group of friends and I, we became Christians but we wandered away. The first person in that group of that circle of girlfriends that became saved started going back to church when she was in her mid-early 20s. And all of us just watched her because her and her husband were very gifted musically. And they, I don't know if you heard of stage door theatre companies, they had quite raunchy, you know, like gigs that they did, and people would sing and dance in them. So they were involved in that, and they would sing in pubs. They were so gifted musically. And then they would go on to another business. So when they went back to church and started walking with God again, the rest of the friends were like really just, and but I was watching them, you know, like, is this just going to be 6 months and then you're on to the next thing? But slowly, as they were walking with God again, their behaviour changed. They changed. Everything changed. Even their outward appearance changed. How they dressed. You know, everything changed. It was incredible. And after a time, you could see that what they had was real. And I think, you know, we need to remember that in this world, people are watching us. They want the truth. What's real? People are watching what we do, what we say, how we are at work. Are we putting in our best at work, or are we skimping? When we do our tax return, are we honest in our tax return? You know, do we tell the truth when we get, I don't know, in any situation? Is there any such thing as a white lie? No, it's a lie, isn't it? So what we do as Christians, what we say, our behaviour and how we are within the community does matter. We need to show our light and we need to be a difference and we need to be ready. You know, it's like what Rachel was saying in the communion message, contend. That's such a great word. We need to contend, but we need to know who we are in Christ to be able to contend. We need to spend time in the word. We need to know what the truth is, and the truth is found in the word. I love this in 1 John and 2 and 10. It says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in it, or in him, there is no occasion for stumbling or cause for error or sin. So the more we abide in the light, the less we are going to stumble, the less we're going to sin. Sure, we all make mistakes. We're not perfect people. Jesus knows that. But we fall down and we get back up and keep trying. And the more we're intimate with him, the more we spend time in the word, the less temptation that sin has for us. I know I used to smoke cigarettes, and it was the hardest thing to give up. I would give up for 2 years, then I'd start again. I'd give up every pregnancy, then I would give up. I'd start again. You know, had the baby, and the first thing I wanted was a glass of champagne and a cigarette. It's like, that's just, you know. But at one point in my life, I don't know when it was, it just stopped. And it was when I was walking back with God. It was just gone. That, I could smell it, you know, 10 feet away, and I'd want a cigarette. And one day it just stopped. As you walk with God, he just takes off us all those things that just hold us back, or that just, you know, addictions and temptations and anything. He just is taking us from strength to strength and glory to glory. And the world's watching. Ah. So in 2 Timothy 2 and 7 it says, when we're looking for the answer for things and when we're looking for direction from the Lord, this is a great verse. Think over these things I am saying. Understand them and grasp their application, for the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. If you're facing a situation, if there's anything, any circumstance you want changed, spend time in the Word. You will get full understanding and insight into that situation. God will show you what scriptures to stand on and how to change, how you can bring about change. No man who believes, trusts in God will ever be put to shame or disappointed. God is so faithful, isn't he? And the entrance and unfolding of your words gives light. There's that word light again. I love that. So as we spend time in the Word, it gives light. And this gives understanding. They're unfolding. The light, the words give understanding, discernment and comprehension to the simple. And I love that. When, you know, the Bible is our directory to life. It holds the answers to every situation, to everything. You can find a scripture and you can stand on it. I don't know if I've shared this, but about 6 years ago, maybe it was 7 years ago, I was teaching, and I was the only nurse who was teaching in this particular place. And after a couple of years, another nurse came on board. And we were working together and it was great. And I just knew that nurse was getting a different hourly rate to me. And it was like the Holy Spirit was like, well, go, you know, was just had prompted me to go see my manager and ask about that, ask for a raise. And I didn't talk to this other nurse. I never asked them what they were getting because that's really none of my business. So I went to my manager and I asked for a meeting and I said, I would like to have the same hourly rate as the other nurse. This wasn't founded on anything like concrete, except what the Holy Spirit whispered. And the manager said, didn't bat an eyelid, just said, oh, no, we can't afford that. We don't have it within our budget. And we talked for a while. I was a bit upset, of course. And then I left. I rode my bike home, and on the way, I can't remember what scripture came to mind, but I just said it over and over again. Went home, cooked dinner, did whatever I had to do, kept saying that scripture over and over again. I got up in the morning, and before I went to work, I got a phone call from the manager, and she said, I've been thinking overnight about what you said, and I agree, you're going to get that same hourly rate as the other nurse. And I was like, yes, God! All I did was stand on that scripture, just repeat it over and over and over again, you know? And it was like the answer came. Quickly, really, in the morning. How does a young man cleanse his way? So this is really, we could apply this to all of us, you know. How do we keep on the right path? How do we stay pure heart, clean hands, pure heart? It's by taking heed and keeping watch according to your word, to God's word, and conforming our life to his word. Every answer to every situation is in the Bible. And I'd just like to close on these last couple of scriptures. In Philippians, that you may yourselves be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, among whom you were seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in a dark world. And we know that the world is getting darker. We know that we have to shine brighter as a church. We have to be ready to not compromise, to stand up for what we believe and speak out in a time when people are becoming more silent because they're scared of man, scared to say what is right. This is a time that God wants his people to rise up and stand on the truth and say, you know, what the Bible says, what the truth says, what God says. And in Matthew 5 and 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. As our light grows stronger and stronger, can't be hidden. It can't be hidden. You know, what's that? The greatest commandment is love God and love one another. If we love one another the way Jesus loves us, the world will see a difference. But we need to be ready as a people to stand up for what is right at this time. We need to pray for our leaders. There are things that are happening today in through the parliament that we don't want to see happen, that we need to be aware of. So God calls us not to be sitting silent, but to take notice of what's going on and to pray and to make a stand for what's right and not compromise. And so I just finish off in prayer. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, as we go into 2021, that our light shines brighter and brighter, that those opportunities that you give to each one of us in our workplace, on the street, in the shops, in the schools, that we seize those opportunities, Lord. And Lord, that we just have a desire to spend more time with you in your word, in prayer, so we grow stronger and stronger and your light grows stronger and stronger in us, which is you radiating out through us. Amen.